Good morning. Welcome to New Life this morning. We're glad you're here. My name is Gina, and this is...
My name is Greg.
Good morning. So, Greg, how long have we known each other?
You and I met when I walked into the counseling office 15 years ago here because there was a lot of stuff going on. So, thank you.
Kind of crazy. So, Greg can tell you that he met me that way. I can never tell you that I met Greg that way. But kind of weird. But anyways, yeah, and we've been friends all this
15
time.
15 years, the whole
15
time.
15 years. And so we bring that up because if you're new here at New Life, we want to not only say welcome, and if you're online, say welcome, but we would love for you to connect with people. I mean, you could connect. So many of you probably have stories about being able to connect. You've met people here at New Life, and they've become lifelong friends. And so we just want to encourage you. We have connection counters in the lobby on both ends and outside on the patio where the food is at. We encourage you to just say hi, connect with someone. You never know who you're going to meet. They could become your lifelong friend. And so we just want to encourage you and let you know. There's also a gift there, they tell me. I have no idea what it is, but there's something there for you.
If you are new and you're asking questions about why the pool is here, it's not just to go swimming or hang out and watch the sermon from there. Today is a very important day in the life of our church, Celebration Sunday. Super happy about Celebration Sunday. The last two Celebration Sundays that we've had here, our daughter was baptized two ago, and then our son-in-law was baptized the last Celebration Sunday. So, yeah, absolutely. As you stand this morning, I was baptized in 1986. Tell the person next to you when you were baptized. Happy Sunday.
With all we are, we claim your victory. Let it rise.
heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot.
Here at Celebration Sunday, and we get to dedicate children to the Lord. We get to baptize people in the faith and into Christ Jesus, and so we're excited to be a part of these celebrations this morning. And so we're going to begin with dedication. Guys, come on, scooch forward so everybody can see you. Perfect. Awesome. You might be asking yourself, hey, why dedication? And so I want to take us back to the Old Testament or the first half of the Bible. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, God is reminding the people of Israel what it's going to look like to pass on their faith to the next generation. And he reminds them that he wants to declare that he is their God and they are his people. And he gives them some commands. And some of those commands are to bind the law of God on their wrists and place it on their foreheads and place it on the doorpost of their house. So that basically, when they go through everyday life, there isn't a moment where they're not being formed and shaped as the people of God. And so when it comes to dedication, it's not about these kids making this decision. It's about mom and dad or grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and the body of Christ choosing to tell the story of God and to disciple the next generation in the ways of Jesus. And so that's what we've come here to do. And so there's a couple of things that I want to, first of all, do you want to introduce?
Yes,
and then, all right, cool. Yeah.
Okay. This is Remo, which we love. Got the honor of babysitting these two cuties, and yeah, we loved every second of it.
Yes.
So we have Grayson, and we have Alexander. I had to look at their faces to make
yes.
sure I was getting the right one. So,
yes. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. So there's a couple of things that you're making a commitment to today. And the first thing is that, first and foremost, that you would own your relationship with Christ Jesus. Because so much of how we parent, so much of how we disciple is caught, not just taught. And so it's your commitment to walk in the ways of the Lord and to model that for Grayson and Alexander. And then the second thing that I think is important as a part of dedication is your commitment to raise them up to know and to love Jesus. That you would, through family practices and having the conversation and reading the scriptures together and giving even testimony of how you came to faith in Jesus Christ yourself, that that would be a part of you raising them up and shaping them in their relationship with Christ Jesus. And then thirdly, it's to activate their faith in the giftedness and plans and purposes that God has placed there. There may not be a more important job or role that we have as parents than to see the things in our kids that God has placed there and to call those out of them so that they see themselves as God sees them. And so when you see sometimes maybe adventure or crawling away and it can get frustrating, I also want you to see boldness, and that if shaped and shaped the right way and formed the right way, that can become boldness of faith. When you see quietness, that you can also see contemplativeness, and that and how to just shape that so that they think on the things of God. And so at the end of the day, your commitment is to raised Grayson and Alexander to know and to love God. So do you choose today to help these boys know Jesus Christ at an early age? Do you choose today to disciple them in the ways of the Lord and to point them towards Jesus the rest of their lives? If so, say, I will with God's help. Awesome. And this isn't just a solo act. You've got family that's here, and then you have the family of God here. So family, can you raise your hand? Yep, awesome. You got family kind of across this area. And then family of God, can you raise both hands? Awesome, yes. So you've got tons of people that are here to help not only with discipling, but with babysitting, so you can have a date night and stuff like that. But will you, as the body of Christ, choose today to take ownership over the discipleship of Grayson and Alexander? Will you choose today to make sure that if you have them in kids ministry, or if you're a small group leader in student ministry, that you will choose to help raise them to know and to love Jesus? If so, say, we will with God's help. Awesome, awesome. So let's dedicate these boys to the Lord. Grayson, you wanna come here? Maybe? Yeah. All right. You see everybody? Yep. All right. Grayson, I dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mark you with the cross of Christ, that you might grow in your knowledge of who Jesus is, that you would receive the gift of salvation that comes through Jesus at an early age, that you would be filled with the Spirit, that the plans and purposes and gifts that God has placed within you, you would use them to glorify God, and you would follow Jesus all the days of your life. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Alexander? Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah, I know. Yes, you're right. All right. Alexander, we dedicate you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alexander, I mark you with the cross of Christ. I pray that you would grow in your understanding of who Jesus is, and that at an early age you would receive his gift of salvation through Christ Jesus. That you would be filled with the Spirit and the plans and purposes and gifts that God has placed within you, that you would utilize them for God's glory, that you would know Jesus intimately, and that you would follow him all the days of your life. And we ask all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate with the family as they leave the platform? Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, let's stand as we continue to worship. Sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all all that I have is a part. nothing else fit for a king except for hearts singing alleluia, alleluia.
We praise you, God. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Provider. We praise you, Savior. We praise you, Messiah. Let our hearts sing hallelujah this morning, and let every word that we speak, every move that we make, the ways that we rest, the ways that we interact with others, the ways that we spend time with you, God, just let everything that we do be a hallelujah and point back to you, so that we can bear your image over and above anything else. Let that be the only image that we bear to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. We are going to continue in our worship this morning. We've been able to worship through song, and now we are going to invite the ushers forward to receive the offering. And this is also a way that we worship with what we have, and knowing that it's not really ours, and just trusting God and seeing what he is going to do with it. So if you're new, please don't feel any obligation to give. Also, if you are new, we would love for you to come a few times for a couple of different reasons. One is that you've picked a really great day to come because it's Celebration Sunday, but we don't always have a pool in the worship center. So we want you to come a couple more times so that you can get to know somebody here, meet a friendly face, build some community, have an opportunity to do that. We want you to get to know us as a church, what we believe, how we live that out, and what God may have for you in that. And we also want you to be in prayer as you come and you're doing those things, meeting people, getting to know us. Ask God what he's up to. What is he doing on the Central Coast? What is he doing at New Life? What is he doing within you? And where do you fit in all of that? So just think about those things if you're new and you come a few times. For those of you that are already part of our church family, we are going to be gathering together on Wednesday this week for an Ash Wednesday service. It's one of the ways that we lead into the season of Lent. So you should have gotten a card today. If you didn't, you can get one as you leave, about Lent and what that season involves. There's a really great explanation on there. But we're going to talk about some of those things on Wednesday and some of the practices that you can start, and they can be personal to you. You can do them in community, but maybe there's some things that are weighing you down that you need to be able to let go of and remove from your life, and maybe there's some things that you need to add in that are going to help you be more aligned with the heart of God. So be contemplating those over this week, and then when you come on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday, we'll be able to share about some of those things together and then walk through the season of Lent with one another. And sometimes we are in seasons where we're just not okay. And something that David has said is that it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. So if you are in one of those seasons where you're not okay right now, we want, as the body of Christ, to be able to come alongside you and walk with you through that. And we have support groups at New Life that play a major role in being able to love on you and understand what you're going through and walk with you in that. So Divorce Care is one of those groups. It already started, but there's still an opportunity to join. They just had their first meeting of this session. And then we also have Grief Share, which is another support group if you've lost someone, and it is about to start. So those are both just a way for you to gather with others who are going to have some insight into what you're going through and be able to pray over one another, love one another, walk with Jesus through it, and walk with each other. So please reach out if you have questions about those two support groups or any of the other ones that we offer. Doing the hard things in community helps us go from not being okay to not staying in that. So please reach out, come to one of the Connection Centrals if you have questions about any of those. And then at the end of this month, we have a group that is going to be
coming to New Life to bless us with their skills. So it is Brush Arbor. They have come a few times. It's a country or Christian country and bluegrass band. They are beloved around here, and they are coming at the end of the month. It's $10. It's going to be in our newly remodeled Life Center, so you get to enjoy that space. We have tickets available, so again, you can come to the Connection Central. You can check the app or our website if you would like to join us for that. We have Pastor David with a message for us today, and I bet you could guess where it's from, but you would be wrong today, because we are not in the Gospel of Mark today.
No, we are not. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to another New Testament book found in the second half of the Bible. It's the book of Galatians. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26 here in a moment. Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26. As I was preparing for this particular celebration Sunday, a lot of times we will just continue on with our series in Mark or whatever series we are in. But I just felt prompted that it's been a little bit since I've preached a message specifically on baptism. And so wanted to just take some time this morning before we baptize those who have said yes to Jesus, to be able to talk a little bit about what the scriptures reveal to us about baptism. And so a couple of things as we kind of set the stage for what God wants to reveal through the book of Galatians. First thing is this. Is if you're a follower of Jesus who has never been baptized, if you're a follower of Jesus who has never been baptized, my prayer for you is that the Spirit would begin to stir within you this morning a desire and a hunger to be baptized. And if you decide today, hey, I didn't sign up, I didn't go to the info meeting, but I've received Christ as Savior, I've received his forgiveness, I'm following him, and you want to be baptized, I want to let you know that we've made preparations for you. We have shirts and we have shorts of all different sizes, and we want to be able to equip you to be able to be baptized today if at some point in the service the Spirit prompts you to be baptized today. We'll talk about the idea of immediacy this morning as well. The second thing that we want to do is if you are someone here today and you've been following Jesus for a long time and you have been baptized, my heart for you is that you would remember your baptism. That you would remember that moment when you moved from death to light. That you would remember that moment when you received Christ's gift of forgiveness. That you would remember that moment of salvation. And that you would be encouraged and you would be spurred on in your faith as you remember your baptism. We talk a lot about spiritual practices, right? We talk about the practice of prayer and the practice of spiritual journaling. And we talk about the practice of spending time with God. We talk about the practice of getting into the Word of God. But a spiritual practice that you actually see down throughout history is the spiritual practice of remembrance. If you read throughout the Old Testament, you see it come up again and again and again, where God calls his people to practice remembrance. Remember my mighty acts. Remember when I was with you. You even see the people of God build altars or Ebenezer stones and say, we want to remember how God moved there. Baptism, if you've been baptized before, remembering your baptism is like that Ebenezer stone. It's reminding you of God's faithfulness, reminding you of what God has done in your life. And then last but not least, you may be here today and you're just checking out this whole Jesus thing. You're just curious about who Jesus might be in your life. And my encouragement to you this morning would be open. Because the God of the universe wants to meet you right where you're at. The one who created you, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, the one who fashioned you together and has plans and purposes for your life. He wants to meet you right where you are at, and you're not here by accident. And so if you have your Bibles open to the book of Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 26, I'm going to read the text in its entirety, and then we're going to go through it verse by verse. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we open up your word today, I pray, God, that you would give us eyes to see what you want to reveal to us, that you would give us hearts to receive, that, God, you would shape us and mold us and form us further into your image through the preaching and teaching of the word, and that your Holy Spirit would allow your word to be rooted in our souls so that we might walk away from this gathering and be able to declare, I am different, I am changed, I am more deeply formed by Jesus because I've gathered with the people of God and heard the word of God and allowed the Spirit to shape that word in my heart. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Three verses where Paul declares profound theological affirmations, profound wisdom, profound understanding about who God is. And really, the two ideas that kind of are the overarching just kind of categories of these three particular verses are our identity in Christ and what baptism does in terms of forming us into a family or a community where Christ is at the center. And so a couple of things that I think are really important into understanding this particular text is simply the first several words of the text. So in Christ Jesus, or even later on in verse 29, it says, if you belong to Christ. When you declare Jesus as Lord, when you receive the free gift of salvation that comes through Christ Jesus, his life, teaching, death, and resurrection, when you believe in the hope of his second coming, and you choose, because Jesus is Lord of your life, to be baptized, you are reminding yourself that you are in Christ now, and because you are in Christ, Jesus is your primary allegiance, and all other relationships and all other entities have secondary status in terms of your allegiance. Jesus is primary. My whole life is about lifting up the name of Jesus. My allegiance, the fullness of what I want to do with my life is about giving Jesus praise and giving Jesus glory. And my allegiance is to Jesus. It's not just a pastor that has a full-time vocation in terms of lifting up the name of Jesus. Every believer who has been baptized, your allegiance, your calling, your life is all about Jesus. Everything else is secondary. I love my wife deeply. I love my kids deeply. I love my ministry deeply. But they all come in second to Jesus. Because I can't love my wife unconditionally unless my allegiance is to Jesus first. And I can't love my kids unconditionally unless my allegiance is to Jesus first. It is because my allegiance is to Jesus first and foremost that everything else I see through that particular lens. This idea of allegiance is so important, and yet for some reason we don't talk about it and we don't preach about it enough, and all of a sudden you begin to have a conversation with someone and you realize that they are actually controlled by the other allegiances in their life and they're not controlled by Jesus. Now, it's not bad to have secondary allegiances. In fact, when I was at Maxwell Air Force Base, I was there with a bunch of people from the South. They were controlled by the devil, because they believed that Whataburger was better than In-N-Out. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I went to Whataburger. And I had Whataburger several times. It is far inferior to In-N-Out. Far inferior. But my allegiance to In-N-Out is a secondary allegiance. My allegiance to The Ohio State University is a secondary allegiance. My allegiance to the things of this world, even if they're good things, are secondary allegiances. And when we allow our allegiance to success or to wealth or to a political party or to a sports team or to the time, like our energy is put towards just the things of this world or to a particular entertainment or show or restaurant or anything else, when those things become primary, we forsake our baptism. When those things become primary, We should be corrected and be reminded that Jesus is Lord of our life, and our allegiance is to him and him alone. The second thing that's a part of that idea of being in Christ or belonging to Christ is simply that phrase, you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. I need you to turn to somebody near you and remind them, you belong to Jesus. We think that's silly, but quite honestly, we almost should greet each other that way. Like when you see each other in the community, or you see each other at Vons, or you see each other at In-N-Out, or you see each other down at the beach, and you know that you're brothers and sisters in Christ, we should literally greet each other, and we should say, you belong to Jesus. And the reason I think we should probably do that is because there is a high likelihood that in a given week, or in a given month, or in a given season, or in a given year, that there will be entities and powers of this dark world, and there will be sin and sickness and sorrow and pain and suffering that will try and attempt to tell you that you don't belong to Jesus. And so we should be reminding ourselves, you belong to Jesus. In fact, when you show up in the hospital and it looks like things are bleak and it's trending towards somebody passing from this life to the next, guess what? As difficult as that is, as heartbreaking as that is, because that person belongs to Jesus, death will not have the final say in that person's life. And so because they belong to Jesus, they will have a new body, and cancer will not be victorious over that body. We belong to Jesus. And when you have stepped into the baptism waters as evidence and as a declaration that you have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, that his blood has washed you white as snow, that you have received his free gift of salvation, and you come out of that water, you are raised to life as a new creation, and you belong to Jesus. And what is true of Jesus is now true of you. Amen? We should also remind ourselves when somebody is wrestling with temptation, and they're one step away from moving from temptation into sin. A lot of times we want to say, stop that, don't do that, and have more discipline. Yes, those are all good things. But we should begin with this. You belong to Jesus. Because you belong to Jesus, sin is no longer your master. Because you belong to Jesus, sin does not get to dictate what I do in my life. Because I belong to Jesus, I have been filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is living within me. The same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is living inside of you, is living inside of me as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So sin does not have to have victory in my life. Does that mean I'll never be tempted? Does that mean I'll be perfect the rest of my life? No. It means that I have a power and a source running through me that I can depend on. That I have a name, and my name is Child of God. I belong to Jesus, and what is true of Jesus is true of me. Which leads to the second kind of portion of that particular text, is that we are children of God. Everyone is children of God who place their faith in Christ Jesus. And this is a radical statement, because you have to remember, in the first century, Jews saw themselves as heirs to the seed of Abraham, and everybody else was secondary. And the only way that you could be a good standing Jew was to obey the law. The only way that you could be a child of God is converting to Judaism. And Paul comes along, and when Jews are looking at Gentiles and saying, you're not one of us, you don't have the rights and privileges that come with being a child of God because you're not one of us, Paul comes along and says, it's not by your bloodline that you are saved, it's not by your bloodline that you have a relationship with God, but it is only through the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. When you place your faith in him, you are adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. This is what Jesus makes possible, and it's through faith in Jesus that this happens. You and I are faithless. Jesus was faithful. He never wavered. He never took a step back. Jesus is faithful. And so the call for response is, are you willing to place your faith in the one who is faithful and believe that he is sufficient for your salvation? Or are you going to go around chasing other saviors? Are you going to go around thinking other things can be your salvation? If I just find the perfect relationship, if I just find the perfect job, if I just have a certain amount of money in my bank account, if I just live in the right neighborhood, if I just get the right house, if I just have the right friend group, if I just get into the right college, fill in the blank that the world says you need these things to save your life. And God comes along and says, there is only one savior and his name is Jesus, and he is sufficient for your salvation. It is a radically exclusive claim that the scriptures have, but it's radically inclusive in saying all of you have the invitation to be children of God through Christ Jesus. And so Jews would have been standing there as Paul's talking to this group of people, this gathering of people, and writing this letter to the church of Galatia. I know that you've had friends that have told you that you're not worthy enough to be a follower of Jesus. I know you have people that said that you can't be a follower of Jesus unless you're a part of a particular bloodline or spiritual family or any number of things. But Paul comes along and says, for those who place their faith in Christ Jesus, you are children of God. He is your only savior. And this is demonstrated, according to Paul, through the practice of baptism. You are baptized into Christ Jesus. So what is true of Jesus becomes true of you. In the original Greek, that word baptized is the term baptizo. Turn to somebody near you and say, baptizo. Turn to somebody near you and say, that means to dunk you. It's not a religious word. It's not a religious word initially. It has religious overtones now, but originally it was not a religious word. It was a normal, common, everyday word. It was what you said when you said, hey, you know, take that chicken and baptizo it in the boiling water, right? You put it all the way in the boiling water. Baptizo the dishes in the sink, right? For me, it's what I do when I have some really good French fries. Good French fries are only good when they're baptizo in ketchup. I'm not talking about like one time and you bite it and then you pop the rest of it. No. Every single bite needs to be baptizoed in ketchup. And when you are baptized, when you go down into that water, you are reminded that there is not an area of your life that is not impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not an area of your life that can't be impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is all encompassing. It overwhelms you. The power of God, the grace of God covers you completely. It's also a reminder that when you go down into those waters, you are being buried with Christ. And sin and death in your life is being buried. And when you come up out of those waters, you are resurrected to new life in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, we read these words. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so when people in the first century declared Jesus as Lord, when people in the first century declared that they were followers of Jesus, it says that they believed in Jesus and they were immediately baptized. There was an immediacy to it. And the reason there was an immediacy to it is because there was an end to something and there was a beginning to something. I think too often we in the church, through catechism or through a process or any number of ways, we have made baptism at times feel like it's the end goal and not the beginning. We're like, hey, take these 8 classes or take these 3 months classes and learn about Jesus. And then if you understand Jesus enough, we'll let you be baptized. But in the first century, there was no class. It was believe in Jesus Christ and then immediately be baptized. And so you begin walking out your faith. Guess what? There's a word that happens when you're immediately baptized. It's called messy. It's messy. Because you don't know everything. And you actually don't know how to live into the reality of Jesus Christ. And you don't know how to live as a new creation yet. But when you are baptized, you begin to wake up every day and you begin to walk out your life every week and every single year, you have the opportunity to live into the reality of what it means to now be a new creation. And every day you should be getting, as you wake up, what should go through your head is, how do I live my life as a person of the new creation today? How do I just do that today? And tomorrow you get up and say, how do I live as someone who's a part of the new creation of what God is doing today? And the next day. In fact, it's very similar to the way that I understand taking vows of marriage. When Dana and I stood before God, friends and family, and we said, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, and sickness and in health, till death do us part, at 20 years old, we had no clue what we were getting into. No clue, no clue what was gonna happen in the future. No clue what the next day was gonna look like. No clue what the next week, the next month, the next 26 years is gonna look like. But we got up every day with a framework. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, let's figure out how to live into that reality today. We got up the next day, let's live into that reality. We got in next year, in year one, in year two, and it was not always easy. And some days those vows were filled with joy and excitement, and some days they were filled with sorrow and repentance and restoration and forgiveness. And so we get up every single day with the reality that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we are saved by Christ Jesus and Him alone, that we are citizens of a new kingdom, that we are part of God's new creation, and we search the scriptures and we listen to the Spirit and we begin to ask ourselves, how do I live into this new reality today? Because this new reality leads to life and life to the fullest, John 10:10, and the way of destruction is the way of this world, and I want to live a life that lives into the reality of Jesus so that my life can be lived to the fullest in Christ Jesus. This is who we are. Believe and be baptized. Paul also says to those who are in Christ, are clothed in Christ, we're clothed with his righteousness and clothed with his gospel. You have a new outfit to wear. You are clothed with the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you are also have a new identity as you are in Jesus. You have a new identity. Now, when we come to this portion of scripture, there is at times some confusion. There is neither Greek nor Jew, no slave nor free, nor male and female. And we're like, what is going on here? How do I understand all of this language? Here's what the text is not saying. It is not saying that we don't have male and female. It's not saying that you no longer have ethnicity. What it is saying is that in the first century, your ethnicity, your socioeconomic class, and your gender determined your status and your worth. So if you were a female in first century, you had no value, you had no worth. If you were a slave in the first century, you had no value, you had no worth. And if you were a Gentile living in a Jewish world, you had no value and you had no worth. And so people treated you accordingly. You're a female, I can treat you however you want. You have no value, you have no worth. You're a slave, I can treat you however I want. You have no value, you have no worth. You're a Gentile, I can treat you however I want. You have no value, you have no worth. But the gospel of Jesus Christ comes along and says, that is not how your value is determined. It is not determined by your status in society. Your value is determined by the fact that you were created in the image of God, and God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to lay his life down on the cross for your sins and for mine, so that you might be restored to the status that he had in mind for you when you were created, a son or a daughter of the Most High God. So there might be someone here sitting here today that your entire life, somebody in your life has tried to diminish your status, has tried to put you in your place, has tried to say that you have no value and you have no worth. They don't have the right to tell you that. Only the one who created you, who knit you together in your mother's womb, who fashioned you together and placed his plans and purposes and gifts in your life, has the ability to declare your identity and your value. And here's what he says to you. Your heavenly Father says, you are beloved. I want to restore you. I want to renew you. I want relationship with you. Well, how much do you want that? I'm willing to send my son to lay down his life for you. To restore you, to restore your status. But you don't know my story. I know your story, and my love is greater. My grace is sufficient, and the sacrifice has already been made. It's been paid in full. Stop living down to a lower status. Start living into the reality that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. Amen. And last but not least, when we do that, we are adopted into a family. And in a society where loneliness is an epidemic, in a society where we probably, when I mention that name family right now, some of our families are fractured, some of our families, the story that they tell is a story of hurt and frustration and brokenness. The scriptures declare that those who are in Christ Jesus, we are family. We're family. Not because we all look alike and talk alike and sing alike. In fact, in the book of Revelation, we're reminded that we don't lose our language or cultural distinctions because we are one in Christ. We're one in Christ, and because we're one in Christ, we have oneness together, even though there are differences among us. In fact, if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 7, it says this, after this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Notice what it didn't say that they all came together and they spoke the same language. And it didn't say that they all came together and wore the same clothes in terms of like their cultural distinctiveness. It doesn't say that they all ate the same food. It doesn't say that they all came from the same country. That doesn't take the power of God to make a bunch of people who look alike and speak alike all of a sudden have oneness. That doesn't take the power of God. But when people come from every nation and every socioeconomic class and every ethnicity and speak every tongue and every language and they're all unified and it's not underneath some flag and it's not underneath some cultural representation, but it's underneath the banner of the Lamb who has been the sacrifice for their sins, they have oneness in Christ. They are part of the family of God. Amen, amen. So, last thing to be reminded of as a part of this family. When you have someone who is newly baptized, they are a new member of the family. They are learning how to live into the reality of what it means to be a son or daughter, to be a part of this new creation, to be a citizen of the Most High God. And if you have been baptized and following Jesus, you have a responsibility. Be a disciple maker. Study the scriptures with them. Pray with them. Encourage them. Spur them on in faith. Today, I think the majority of the people that are going to be baptized are middle schoolers. Guess what? Neb, you can clap. Go ahead, clap. Clap, clap, clap. All right, you all clapped, right? Be a disciple maker of middle schoolers. Right, Christy? We need them. We need them. We're having more and more of our young people come to know Jesus. We don't have enough disciple makers. Be a disciple maker. Be a disciple maker of our kids. We can clap all day long. We had kids baptized in the first year. We can clap all day long and be like, yes, that's awesome. Yes, somebody else discipled them. That's too much for me. Be a disciple maker. If you are a follower of Jesus, be a disciple maker in this church. Over the last 3 years, I think we've baptized over 250 individuals. Be a disciple maker. We need people to be disciple makers. We don't just get baptized and, hey, that's the end of my journey. No, we're baptized. We live into the reality of what it means to be a new creation. And as we grow in our faith, we grab other people who are going in the same direction. Say, hey, let's get together and pray together. Let's study God's word together. Let's think about the things of God together. Let's spur each other on in faith. Be a disciple maker. I'm gonna invite our team to come forward at this time, and as they do, I'm gonna invite those who have already said yes to Jesus and I wanna be baptized today to start making their way over to this side of the platform, my right, your left. And then if you are someone who maybe you have been following Jesus for a while and you've said yes to Jesus, you've received his gift of salvation, but you didn't come dressed to be baptized, but you're feeling the Spirit stir you right now, I invite you to go over here. We've got clothes for you. We have a towel for you. We are prepared. And we just want to encourage you, do not let a day go by. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. If that's what the Spirit is stirring in you this morning. As we continue to worship, let's pray and just ask God and his Spirit to just flood this place in this moment. Gracious Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would open our eyes to what you have for us, that you would give us your plans and purposes for this moment, that if there's anybody who you've been stirring in their spirit, do not let fear or wondering hold them back. If they believe that you are Lord, may they be baptized today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship together. Oh, maybe not. Maybe we're gonna introduce people first. Go ahead and have a seat. Sorry about that.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna take some time really quick before people go into the tub to hear a little bit about their stories of their old lives before they go down into the water and come out new. So this is a time where we want you to not only know their name, but really listen to their story, because like David said, we are to be pray and they are part of the family of God, and we are here to lift them up and to celebrate them. After you guys share your testimonies with everybody, you'll go to David and be able to nail it to a cross, putting our old selves on the cross and then going down and doing that story. You guys ready? All right, what's your name?
I'm Kiva Reynolds.
You want to share your testimony?
I've always known God my whole life, but I've really never known him. I really want to be baptized because I want to be closer to God and have a long path with him and have a new life in Christ so I can be saved in his name.
Hi, I'm Chloe, and when I was younger, I never really knew what it was like to be a Christian, like what it meant. And then last year, I started going to church and youth group, and I let go of the people that were bringing me down and let go of bad habits and all that. And then I started talking to Christy and telling her I was ready to get baptized and all that. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Penelope. I've gone to church like most of my life, but I never really like understood any of it. And I kind of like stopped going to church after a while. And this summer, I went to youth group, and I met so many of my friends, and I started talking to Christy, and I, like, read my Bible every day, and I, like, learned what it meant to be a Christian, so I told Christy I wanted to get baptized, and yeah.
Hi, guys. I'm Kaylee. I grew up knowing about God, but I didn't really understand what it meant to walk closely with him. One of the biggest things he used in my life was friendship. I met my best friend who introduced me to Jesus, and through her, I started seeing faith in a different way. From then on, I would drift from God and pull back in. A few years later, I started losing myself. I didn't notice how far my heart was from God. I was so lost, I started to lose my best friends, and I was angry and sad, and I felt the people I loved most were taken away from me, and I didn't understand why. Looking back, I can see that God was using that time to show me how much I needed him, and how the people pointed me back to him, and God used that distance to rebuild a connection in a deeper, healthier way. Recently, God has been working in so many forms in my life. He gave me my boyfriend, who became a huge influence in helping me grow closer to him. Instead of pulling me away from God, he encouraged me to pray, read my Bible, and keep Jesus at the center of my life. Throughout all of this, God has shown me that he is patient with me. He can use friendships and relationships to draw me back to him, and that even when I drift, he's always working to bring me home.
Amen.
My name is Lucy, and summer 2005, I fell into a deep hole. I caught myself in a very depressive state and desperately trying to get out. A few months ago, I began to find my faith again. I could hear the Lord, and I started frequently going to youth group. I started to love and connect with myself. I would pray to release these feelings. Recently, school got to my head. I talked to God about it, and I truly believe he hears me and understands. My faith has grown drastically and has proven many things in my life, starting with my forever, never-ending love for the Lord himself.
My name is Violet, and I recently just started, like, learning about Christ and getting to know him and stuff. And I want to get baptized because it'll bring me closer to God and help me get rid of bad habits and free me of my sins.
My name is Anthony, and I've been attending church and youth group for about 3 years now. I want to give a big shout out to my parents, friends, and family, and of course my youth leaders for always supporting me. Most importantly, I want to say thank you for Jesus helping me through all my ups and downs, especially during my mom's divorce and her recent breakup. And some of the hardest moments of my life. There's even a time when I almost gave up on my life, but faith in God's love carried me through. Standing here today is proof that things can change, healing is possible, and hope is real.
Amen.
My name is Brandon. I'm a senior. I know Pastor David said it was just middle schoolers, but you know, I'm still here. Yeah, let's go seniors. Anyways, when I was on my lowest back in middle school, I almost gave up on my life that the Lord gave me, but I found Jesus, and with him I found peace and solitude, and I was saved, and that's why I'm here today, to give my life to him.
My name is Isis. I'm 22, so I'm old. So, but I was baptized in the Catholic Church when I was about 11 years old, so I went through catechism and all that good stuff to receive communion as well. And I'm so blessed to have gone through that. At 22 years old now, I have resonated more with Christianity and have unfortunately fallen into sin from then and now, of course. I would like to be forgiven and give myself to the Lord, more so now than ever, especially because I'm going to school to be a nurse. And I want to walk in those hospital doors with the hands of the Lord. So.
Amen.
So for those of you who are going to be in the tub and help baptize, well, I invite you forward. We're going to do this. So just remember, this is a time where we are celebrating, we are cheering. So as you see old life go down and new life come up, feel free to yell out, applaud, and give praise to God. Remember to pray for these people.
Stand up and worship together as we celebrate these baptisms too, please.
I know who I am.
'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future and it's worth living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know salvation was only the start.
to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
My name is Tyson Scott. I've been introduced to religion since I was young. Never really trusted Christ as much, but I came here to California and I met a lot of new people that helped me give my life to Christ. So today is the day.
Amen. All right, here we go. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and moving. You guys can go on now.
Hallelujah, you call out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah, you bury my past, I'm not going hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, you call out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah.
So we already have the front and it's so wet and it's just awesome. It's a beautiful mess. We want to just sing one more song. Thanks, Jared. Thanks. Splash it up here. We want to just sing one more song. And as we think about allowing Christ to be the Lord of our lives, it's a major step, right, in our journey as Christians. And the brothers and sisters of Christ are gathered in this room. And so we want to just take one song, one moment to remember our baptism. For those of us in the room who have been baptized, think about the people that were there supporting you. Think about the church family that was there supporting you. If you did it in the Jordan River, or if you did it at Pismo Beach or Avila Beach or here in the sanctuary, wherever that looks like, whatever that looks like for you, it's very beautiful to remember your baptism. And so if you want to remember it this morning by dipping your hands in the water and getting a little wet yourself, you can come up during this song and do that. Or if you just want to contemplate it and sit quietly at your seat, we want to sing this song called The Jesus Way, because when we allow Christ to be the Lord of our lives, it changes the way we respond to the world as Christians. And so, Jesus, we love you. We give you praise and honor, God. And in this song, as we celebrate as a family, Lord Jesus, would you just remind us what it means to do things the Jesus way? We love you, Lord.
If you curse me, then I will bless you. And if you hurt me, I will forgive. If you hate me, then I will love you. I choose the Jesus way. If you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way. Jesus.
morning's benediction. As you go today, may you go as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. May you go as those who have been baptized and be reminded that you have gone from death to life. May you go as those who are citizens of a new kingdom. And may you go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.